So in this passage we're looking at today, oh, am I on? There's a party. Well, that's good, isn't it? Everyone likes a good party. But this was a special party. Matthew, or Levi as he was then, was throwing this amazing party. Because he had met Jesus. I wonder, when we have a meeting with Jesus, do we ever throw a party for people? I remember when I made that first commitment, June 1980, I didn't tell my dad, because my dad was a hard Glaswegian and we never got on at the best of times, and so I wasn't going to tell him. Like Linda was sharing last week, she didn't tell her dad about wanting to get baptised, she told her mum, because that was easier. But he threw a party, because he was so excited. Why was he so excited? Because his sins had been forgiven. He'd been called by Jesus to follow him. Can you imagine what that must have been like? A jobbing tax collector, hated by everybody. All of a sudden, Jesus comes and says, "Follow me." Wow. Ooh, wow. He must have been absolutely excited. I'm sure I would have been. In Luke 5, as Vanessa read, after this he went out, that's Jesus, and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax booth. He said to him, "Follow me," and leaving everything. Do you see that? Leaving everything. He rose and followed him. It's a kind of follow-on from Lou last week, though we hadn't planned it. I think this is the second follow-on Lou and I have done. But like the story of the great pearl, people who gave up everything to find the one precious thing, Matthew left everything to follow the one precious thing, Jesus. So Matthew threw this huge party to celebrate and show everyone he was changed, he was forgiven, and he was chosen. Just like Linda shared last week, she was excited about being baptized because it showed all her family and friends that she was changed, forgiven, and chosen by Jesus. You know, sometimes you get miserable people at parties. That's usually me. Oh, the music's too loud. Do I have to dance? Oh, I don't like all this jiggying around. I like the slow ones when I can hang on.
Are you hanging on to?
Linda! Stop, there's rumours around. Now, the reason I hang on for dear life is not being romantic, is it, Linda? No. It's because I can't, this leg don't communicate with this up here. So while she's going that way, I'm going that way. And so I have to hang on. What was I going with that then? I don't know, you threw me there, weren't you? Yeah, it's all right. Miserable people, yeah, so that's usually me. Well, yeah, it's all right. But this time, the miserable blokes were the Pharisees. They were complaining that Jesus' disciples weren't following their traditions.
A fiddler on the roof.
It's okay.
Sounds crazy, no? But here, in our little village of Anatevka, you might say every one of us is a fiddler on the roof, trying to scratch out a pleasant, simple tune without breaking his neck. It isn't easy. You may ask, why do we stay up there if it's so dangerous? Well, we stay because Anatevka is our home. And how do we keep our balance? That I can tell you in one word. Tradition!
Tradition! Tradition! We'll be right back.
traditions. We've kept our balance for many, many years. Here in Anatevka, we have traditions for everything. How to sleep, how to eat, how to work, how to wear clothes. For instance, we always keep our heads covered and always wear a little prayer shawl. This shows our constant devotion to God. You may ask, how did this tradition get started? I'll tell you. I don't know. But it's a tradition. And because of our traditions, every one of us knows who he is and what God expects him to do.
No apologies for that. Fiddler on the Roof, one of my favorite musicals. I don't like lots of musicals, but I love that one. I was going to play the other bit where it talks about traditions, and I thought, you know, when it talks about the papa's tradition and the mama's tradition, I thought, I won't get out of here alive if I do that one. But you see, he didn't know where these traditions had started. They were just there. And that's what happens sometimes. We have these traditions that come up. We don't know why they're there. We just follow them blindly. And the Pharisees were complaining that the disciples weren't following their extra traditions on fasting that had been put into place. It's the same with us, though, isn't it? Sometimes we can make traditions and rules that govern how we do things in our homes and in our communities and in our churches that have very little to do with a life of faith. So what was Jesus saying about these parables, and what do they mean for us today? Well, Jesus began with a rather pointed reference, did you notice, of a wedding. Why would you fast when the bridegroom is there? See, he was showing all those around him that he, Jesus, was the bridegroom. And so there was no need for his disciples to fast because he was with them already. Did you get that? Soon he will be taken away, and then it was time to fast and pray and to mourn. But they had the bridegroom with them. So why fast? I'm pretty sure, you know, the Pharisees got what Jesus was implying, and I'm sure it got their backs up. And then we come, of course, to this two joined parables, the exploding wineskins and the torn cloth. Simply put, because of time, you don't want to go listen to me rabbiting on for half an hour talking about this. So in a nutshell, new cloth put onto a patch on an old piece of cloth. When you wash it, what happens? It shrinks and leaves a big hole. It damages the garment. And if you put new still fermenting wine into these old rigid wineskins, it just bursts because it's got nowhere to go, because the old wineskin isn't like a new wineskin. It's not pliable. It's just rigid. You know, it's like an old bit of leather. There's no giving it. And so when you put it in and put the stopper on, all the fermentation inside, it goes bang and covers everybody. And of course they would have been familiar with that in those days. When I was looking at this, I had a bit of a shock, because I went to get a picture of a wineskin and I thought, well, that looks pretty. And then I looked at another Google image. Don't go to Google. Goodness me. And it's like a goat. It's a goat. And I'm thinking, what? And I thought, oh, no, wrong. I cancelled that search. And I went on to Microsoft, whatever that, Bing. And I thought, I'll get a better image. And it was another goat. And that's what they did. They had these goat skins, tanned them, tied off the feet, and the stopper went in the neck, and they poured the wine in, and you put it on your shoulder, and off you went. And it's not like going down the Marks and Spencers and getting a nice bottle of Wolf Blass or something that you put on, you know, very dainty. No, this was a goat. But they would have known that, you see. And then Jesus was trying to give us some important takeaways. The first one is, it's really hard to hold on to these old, stiff traditions when we have a new faith in Jesus. You see, Jesus was bringing something new and unique. He was bringing God to the people. That was the difference. He was bringing God to the people. He was unwrapping generations of religious traditions and laws, casting away ceremonies and bringing direct and personal access to God. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing that we now can just go to God whenever we want? We don't have to wait until Sunday. Oh, you haven't waited till Sunday. Because we have that direct access, that personal access to God. And this threatened the purpose of the Pharisees. And they got knocked by it. So why was it a threat? Because Jesus was saying that it is now about a life of faith. It was about our attitudes. It was about being more like Jesus in those attitudes. And that was radical, because it threatened the position of the Pharisees. Micah 6, verse 8. It's a brilliant passage. Now he has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. I'll say it in a nutshell. And if that was all we ever looked at, wouldn't that be a perfect way to live our lives? But it's not just words. We have to do justice. That's the first thing that God wants from his people, that they do justice. Our actions need to reflect our beliefs. God wants his people to reflect his character. He is a just God, and so his people are to bring about justice in our communities, in our churches, in our families. We are to stand and support the broken and set free the oppressed. And do you know what? And I'm not just saying this to tickle ears. This is what I found when I started coming to this church, that it does care about this community of Mitchell Dean. It does stand with the people who are suffering, who are oppressed. Otherwise, Lou wouldn't be here. Is that right, Lou? Half your time is doing this, reaching out, but we can't just let Lou do it all, can we? To love mercy or kindness. As Linda prayed, we should live charitably. We should speak peaceably. And we should serve others passionately. The justice that God looks for, kindness, you know, is a second person quality. It requires us to be in relationship with somebody to be just and to be merciful and to be kind. And that was the radical new thing that Jesus was bringing, that the Pharisees were getting knocked about. And to walk humbly with your God. We need to understand that we are not the center of the universe. You've just got to turn your televisions on to see many, many people who think in all these get rich quick, be famous quick shows that they are the center of the known universe. We are not. And we are not defined by our traditions and laws. But we have a tremendous opportunity to follow and to share the one who is the center, who is Jesus. We need to remind ourselves of the basics of faith. God's desire for you and I is not just to follow traditions and regulations blindly, but to follow the justice and the love and the kindness of God. by focusing on those basics, we see the principles that will enable us to live a fruitful and a faithful and a passionate life with God. This was this unique way that Jesus was sharing. This was the reason why you couldn't put new wine in old wineskins, because it destroyed it. You couldn't put a new bit of cloth on an old bit of cloth, because it would tear away. Jesus was bringing something new. He was bringing himself, and he was bringing direct access to God. And the Pharisees saw this and it became a threat. Just like Matthew, who gave up everything to follow Jesus, we have to accept everything that Jesus has in our lives. Not a bit of this and a little bit of that, but be holy for Christ. Now, don't get me wrong. Some traditions are good. As a family, we have a tradition on Christmas Day when we open up Christmas presents from ourselves or from family, we have bacon sandwiches for breakfast.
Why not?
Now, I would hate for that tradition to disappear. Because that's a good tradition. Wholesome tradition. Healthy tradition. Low-fat bacon, now going to be in the air fryer. Ooh. But as a church, we have good traditions, don't we? Like meeting to worship and to pray. Like when we had the theatre group came to the school at Christmas. Brilliant! When you see all those families who don't normally come here, but went there and listened to the gospel. Wasn't it brilliant? Absolutely. Great traditions. But this was the second warning. Especially as church leaders, be careful when we create our rules and traditions that we don't impose on others in a way that brings bondage to people. You know, we always need to question. Just because what I'm saying to you today, don't just take it for granted. Go back to your Bibles and say, does it stack up? I'm sure Lou and John will agree. Just because it's said from the front doesn't always make it right. Is that right? Now, not having a pop at John and Lou, obviously. But we have to be careful that we don't set traditions on people and rules and regulations on people that stifle them and imprison them. We have to look at God's word. Does this stack up? Does this bring me closer to God? Does this enable me to worship God? Let's not be a church of ripped cloth and bursting wineskins, but one that follows Jesus and leads people into freedom, that demonstrates grace and encourages and builds up. Matthew 11 says this, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And this is the point that Jesus was making. He was showing that we don't need a priesthood to have a relationship with God. That we have direct access. Peter reminds us that we are what? A chosen people. A royal priesthood. With direct access to God. Peter gives us another encouragement in 1 Peter chapter 2, and it's this. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom to cover up for evil, but living as servants of God. So, Jesus came to set us free. We must not return. people to the slavery of traditions and rules, but freedom in Christ. And that's not to say that rules are irrelevant. Can you just imagine living in our society without any rules and regulations? Has anyone ever seen or read The Lord of the Flies? Really good film. Really good film. Go and watch it. I don't know if you can download it these days, but it's a bit gory. But there you have a society that was, first of all, followed by the Catholic school tradition. The head boy was still there, even though the plane had crashed and they were survivors on the island. They still followed the regulations. They still followed the rules. And that's what kept them going. And that's what Topol was saying. Sometimes the traditions that they have keep them grounded. And it's important to have some traditions, not just to throw everything away. And of course, what happened with those young lads a few months into living on that desert island? Anarchy. Anarchy. And that's what would happen. Jesus wasn't saying throw away all the rules, because what does the Bible say? Obey men's rules. Just be careful that we don't imprison people on traditions and regulations that we have built that have no reflection on what it means to be able to worship God and to serve each other. Don't let us be church of burst wineskins and torn cloth. Let us, and I'll say this, hear the word, let us carry on. Let us carry on being a church that sets people free and gets behind those who are struggling and those who are in need. Let us carry on, because I know we're already doing it. And let us cast aside those things that just get in the way. Father God, we just want to thank you that we now have direct access straight to you. Isn't that amazing? Just to be able to be with you whenever we choose to be. Help us, Lord, to look at the things that govern our lives and those things that just trap us and trap other people. May we cast them aside and may we live that life of freedom. But only to live that life of freedom if it encourages other people. It builds other people up, Lord. We ask this in your precious name. Amen.